Hello and welcome to another Comics Burst from the Full Force podcast, sponsored by Distant Planet Comics and Collectibles, where we take an in-depth look at the newest G.I. Joe comics and related titles of the week, with me as your host, Chris Major Blood Orange McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. Joining me on this episode is Brian, the Black Major Blood Hickey. On this instalment of your absolutely favourite kind of burst, we look at issue 4 of Paul Aller's amazing G.I. Joe ongoing from IDW. Spoiler alert, we love it. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this comics burst. For Cobra, journey into the heart of Cobra as Major Blood searches for the hidden truth behind Cobra High Command. What will Cobra's new vision of America mean for G.I. Joe? Yeah, so thanks again for jumping on, Brian. Now, we just spoke about issue 3, and what I found, what I'm going to say immediately off the bat here, before we get into the covers, is we've got a different art team on this, or a different artist on this issue. I really enjoyed this. I enjoyed the look and the feel of it, but it does have almost like a completely different vibe to the previous issues because of that art, doesn't it?
Well, do you know what?
It's not in a bad way, from my opinion, by the way.
Well, I know we're going to jump to the end of the show here. This is my favourite of all the four so far.
So, but 20,000 potatoes? I can't tell where we're at now.
But at first, I was taken aback because I didn't even read the credits. It went straight in, and that first panel immediately recognized a different art style, and what a first panel, which we'll talk about in a few minutes.
Yeah.
But the art style, as I worked my way through the issue and the story, and obviously the lead character in this particular issue, I just got more and more engrossed in this particular issue.
Yeah, totally.
And by the end of it, I was just mind blown. Now, I love Chris Evenhouse's work.
Agreed.
I really can't wait for him to be back on board. But Nico Walter has kind of stepped in here and done some killer work. That's what I'm going to say.
Totally. I really agree with that. And I think initially I was kind of like, oh, you know, like it was quite jolting that we went from Evenhouse to, who's got, again, very clean, very like smooth lines, very kind of, in the way Brittany does the colour for Chris, she definitely does a different colour job for Nico here. I think personally, you know, other people may disagree, but you know, she's still, I mean, there's still some of the colour palette there, but for the most part, there's more colour going on in this than in the other style of, you know, the comic that is done with Chris. And again, I think both styles are great, but it works so well for Major Blood, doesn't it? I think that's this kind of like almost like scratchier, sketchier style does have a really good feel about it for this bad Major Blood.
Yeah, it's gritty. This is a very character-driven episode.
Yeah.
But it's Major Blood's character, so it's really gritty. But with Brittany Pierce still on the colours, There's a continuity in the art style. It hasn't gone into a completely different look and feel.
Yeah.
I'd say the colour palette is kind of consistent with what we're kind of used to in this particular run.
So that first cover then, pretty cool. It's almost like a front of Time magazine, isn't it?
Kronos magazine.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's brilliant. It's like I feel like it's like a that is a Time magazine homage joke, isn't it? I think.
Man of the Year, Visions of a New America. Wow, yeah, it's a Time parody for sure.
There's like an apple there with a bite taken out of it, and a chessboard with only two pieces on it. It's such a brilliant, like, it obviously homages a Time cover somewhere, doesn't it? I'm going to have a look at all the Time covers now.
But it's a classic checkmate move with the king and a rook cornering a king into another corner, basically. The symbolism of a lot of it is over my head. We've got strategy, we've got the apple in the Garden of Eden, maybe, and a bite taken out of that, and a very sublime-looking Cobra commander sitting, you know, overlooking it all with his hands joined together.
A really nice cover, really fun, like a fun homage there. The other one is also pretty interesting, isn't it? And that is that's basically, I want to say, Stalker and Fadeaway are kind of hiding in like a shop, or they're hiding in some sort, yeah, I think it's a shop, with two vipers outside in the street kind of walking past.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, it's that kind of theme that we see with some of the alternative covers with G.I. Joe on the run or kind of hiding out. I would say it's definitely Stalker, Fade Away, and I mean Naomi Franke's.
Yeah,
I think it is. It's a beautiful work on that cover.
Absolutely. And so we get into this one. Like I said, it's a slightly different team. We've got Nico instead of Chris, but the rest of the team stays intact. And we start off with this brutally violent opening panel with like a splash page, really, with Major Blood just having literally strangled someone with a wire.
We can see that it's a Cobra trooper because he's got the Cobra album,
yeah,
emblem on his uniform, and he's collapsing. It's immediately you're like, what the hell's going on here? Because we just wrapped up issue 3 with Blood being summoned to essentially explain how a Cobra military convoy got destroyed and a bridge got destroyed. So we're expecting him to be kind of, you know, getting dressed down by Cobra Commander and the Baroness. And instead what we have here is him in full, you know, violent outburst with a garrote and a dead Cobra trooper. And it's like, what's going on here?
I mean, there's definitely, this one is definitely more violent. It's definitely more kind of, you know, you kind of get taken on this little journey with this character. Again, like the previous issue, in fact, all the issues we've had so far have been very fast-paced. And this one, there's a more calm consideration, isn't there, on their part. More panels, more talking, more, you know, kind of dialogue to, like, make you understand what's going on in this storyline, but also the perspective of Major Blood effectively kind of doing a little bit of detective work.
Yeah, so I mean the pace, we have this kind of, you know, really intense first full page panel, and then we go to 5 years before, and Blood is, we start to get some backstory on Blood, and there's a lot of stuff in there maybe that's familiar to us, you know, his he's Australian, his time in the military.
Yeah.
And we get some sort of mention of some of the military campaigns he worked on or that he fought in as part of his time in the army, and then how he becomes a mercenary, and that's where he starts to do freelance work for Cobra. He's having a chat with, is it Damon or Demon?
Yeah.
This is, you know, 5 years prior to the events in these comics, and he's just, you know, he's collecting a bounty effectively on this Mr. Brocca that he's terminated.
Yeah.
And he starts to, you know, as he sort of reveals his backstory, he says that as he discovered more about Brocca, he realized that they had more in common. He had more in common with his victim than he initially thought he had.
Yeah, yeah.
And his understanding of what he thought Cobra was and what he comes to realize they are two very different places.
We also get kind of almost, I'd say, a revisiting of the first issue where we see Tiger crossing paths with Duke, and the fact that pictures were taken of that particular, I wouldn't say meeting because it wasn't a meeting necessarily, but the fact that Tiger is now in with the Joes, they've almost like kind of followed that a little bit, and you can see the pictures on the table that he's looking at with the Tiger picture, the jacket, him on his moped, or sorry, on his little delivery bike, Duke running past him just before he gets captured and shot. I wouldn't know who's taking those pictures, but I suppose it's like CCTV footage, isn't it? That's probably what it
is. Yeah, because it's definitely like an elevated view, so you'd assume it's kind of CCTV, and you have them, as you say, so we've had that little flashback, and now we're, you know, close to the present day, and he's in the debriefing with Baroness and Cobra Commander and a Demon, and what he's telling them is that he's on the case, investigating G.I. Joe, but what he doesn't tell them is that he's already almost completed that investigation.
Yeah.
And then we get this image of all these kind of photos of CCTV footage on his desk. This hasn't been revealed to Cobra Commander.
Yeah.
This is his private investigation. And then we start to get another
you could almost say flashback. You could almost say Major Blood Private Eye, because he doesn't have, he's only got one. That was a bad one eye joke. But yeah.
No, dude, you're on fire. That's a deadly one eye joke.
I should be on fire. I will be on fire eventually, I think. This is quite a harsh part, isn't it? Because they come back to the people that we again saw in that first issue who were who would converse with Tiger.
Yes.
And he's basically, you know, having one of them taken away and interrogated, and the wife's in tears and all that kind of stuff. So it's real, again, hard hitting, brutal.
I mean, it's 1984. It's, you know, yeah. Big Brother. It's pretty grim stuff here. So like he's obviously tracked, you know, Rithi or Tiger to this grocery store. He's reefed one of them, even though they've told him all they know. By the time they've got him at the door, he's like, yeah, we're going to Mindbenders and we're going to get more information out of this guy.
Jeez, man, Mindbender. And also, I love that we see Sheila, his dog, in this one as well. I love Sheila, she's lovely. And yeah, and again, like, I do like this following Blood around to see his lifestyle, to see what, you know, what his place looks like, which is actually quite a nice place. You'd expect him to like live in a blooming dreadnought hut, wouldn't you? Like the way he looks. But, you know, he's in this really nice kind of penthouse suite.
Yeah, I mean, it's spacious, it's big, he's got this lovely balcony looking out. I mean, this guy's living the high life, you know.
Thanks to Cobra. They pay well. Cobra provides, as we've heard. In fact,
as we
should sign off with that from now on. We should sign off with Cobra provides, or the Full Force provides, if you're a patron. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
But also, and he continues his investigation. And again, that leads him into Mindbender's kind of secret laboratory, which is very cool looking, isn't it?
So, I mean, this is... So on his quest for the G.I. Joe secret base, he stumbles across a Cobra facility that he didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
And
I love the change up in colour here as well, by the way. Like the what Brittany does with the colouring, you go from all this kind of like dark. Each kind of stage of this comic is coloured in different ways, and it really does make it clear that they're all separate parts. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I mean, that's part of the real magic that the colourist brings to any comic, and you know, Brittany Peard does a superb job. We go from the gritty, seedy, almost kind of film noir look and feel of his apartment down into the sewer. And then we come into this place of light. It's, you know, light and colour. And it is a completely different world from what Blood is used to. And I think it starts to symbolise there's a change in Blood's perception of Cobra.
Yeah.
When he stumbles into this facility. Because who do we see big and bold up on the big screens up in the wall is Destro. And we learned from Blood's backstory that Destro was providing weapons to the Taliban, which the Taliban used to essentially decimate Blood's forces when he was, you know, stationed with the army in Afghanistan.
I love that they're kind of lining all of these characters up to have real issues with each other. You know, it's not clear, it's not clean, it's not black and white. It's all there's a lot of grey areas within these characters. I'm not saying Blood's a good character. I'm saying that he's complex, and there's this.
He's a complex character. Yeah.
And there's this thing with, and I say he's still bad, but it's the fact that he has this issue with Destro. Which is something, you know, and then Destro's also supplying weapons now to G.I. Joe. And it's just like, you know, there's all these like layers to this story, which I think if you're not really paying attention, you might miss. And this one is a good one in that Blood gets kind of caught trying to like, you know, snoop around. And he realizes at this stage, well, if he gets made, then Cobra's just going to kill him. Cobra Commander's going to kill him. So he has to take the Vipers out, as in using deadly force, and then get his ass out of there. Do you know what I mean? And you know, you even see that one scene where he takes those two Vipers out. He uses the guy's hand that he's just killed to, like, brutally, like, literally beaten his head in with that, like, friggin' stick of his, that kind of cattle prod. And you even see that one panel where it's like, it changes colour again and you just see the blood spatter and wham, wham and all that kind of stuff, and it goes really harsh. And he takes his glove off one of the guys he's just killed and uses it to scan the hand thing so he can open the door. And lo and behold, there are three more Vipers and two scientist officers in that room. And you see his face and he's like, ugh. So he knows that he, you know, those two aren't the last people he's going to kill in that room, put it that way.
I mean, it's a pretty visceral couple of pages there as he, I mean, there's a whole page and a half given to this, but two pages effectively given to this fight sequence with the two vipers. Very little kind of dialogue over that. It's just, it's mostly action and ends with him bludgeoning a guy to death with a baton, yeah. Essentially. And then, of course, it fast forwards to or flashes to Demon's apartment. She's at home. She has a family there. We can see her wife and kid. And the phone is kind of binging. And she gets an emergency call to kind of dial into Cobra Commander.
I love it when Baroness and Demon talk to Mindbender to find out the whole situation and what's going on. And he tells them, he kind of says, like, you know, don't worry, it's nothing, a signature here and there, can't fix kind of thing. He signs off with them and then blood's in the room, but he knows he's in the room and he speaks to him, and they've been developing this really cool rapport with the two characters. They've got this like weird bad guy bromance thing going on between the two of them. And I love the fact that it even mentions it. Like they're talking back and forth, and Blood goes, enough with this cloying banter. And Mindbender says, but that's our entire dynamic.
It's a lovely touch.
I love those little lines, like these little bits of humour in there, which again, if you're reading through this, you might not necessarily kind of, you know, really pick up or don't really notice as really funny, but I think it's just great. And he's basically telling Mindbender that, you know, it looks like Mindbender's covering for Blood because he said he recognised his handiwork all the way across, you know, the whole place. And he says, like, or Blood says, that the alliance with Mars is a mistake. And that he doesn't think Destro can be trusted, and so on and so forth. Yeah,
and we don't need him to, you know, for new weapons. And that's when Mindbender goes, "You what? This isn't a weapons factory.
Yeah,
it's a think tank." And what you realise in this moment is that what Mindbender and what Cobra are developing is it's a new America. They're trying to create a whole new world starting America. It's a massive reveal and it makes us kind of, you know, we're not entirely sure now what Commander's end game is.
Yeah. To me, it feels like he wants to, you know, there's an element of wanting to shape the world in his vision, but that doesn't necessarily mean a free life. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean what people are used to, but that he's also trying to trick people into, not trick them, but, well, we don't really know, do we, at this stage? We're this is all kind of up in the air. Maybe he's doing it just so that Major Blood is on side, do you know what I mean? Or that information is being kind of given to Blood almost to get him on side.
I think there's a lot still to be revealed here. We're just getting a little peek behind the curtain as to what Cobra Commander's endgame might be, but it's left Blood in a dark place because he certainly doesn't feel himself aligned with Cobra's values anymore.
I know, it's crazy. Really good issue. And then finally, it says, here's the other thing you wanted, throws a file on the table for him, just after all that's been kind of, you know, revealed and explained. And he goes back home. Oh yeah, and you see him walk away from the table, and it's that Reethi Kai. It's Tiger. It's his file, but his actual real. So obviously his they obviously got the information, or Mindbender got the information that they needed out of that guy, and then obviously did whatever they wanted with him. So I mean, that's the other thing living in this world is, like, you know, if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, then Cobra are gonna want you, and they're gonna dispose of you after they're finished as well. Like that's another problem.
So I mean, it leaves us, you know. I suppose this issue ends with Major Blood. He's determined to track down G.I. Joe. He seems to have a solid lead now, which he didn't have before. But he's also massively disillusioned with Cobra as a result of what he's discovered there. And knows Destro is also in it. So he basically ends where he wants to destroy G.I. Joe, destroy Destro and Mars, and take down Cobra Commander and Cobra. It's like we have this whole new faction starting to form around Major Blood at the end of issue 4. What an issue.
It's a banger. You've already kind of given the game away, but what score are you going to give it anyway? That's actually still a mystery to me, because we can only do fives, but you still sometimes pull out bigger ones.
Well, do you know what? I'm going to go with the five again on this. I mean, it's the guys have kind of steered it into a different place. I actually think the different art style worked well on this,
yeah,
because we've gone into the mind of Major Blood, which is a dark place, and Nico Walter's art really, it suited that dark place,
yeah,
really well.
I agree on that. I think we're going to get back to Chris Evenhouse on the next issue, if I'm right. I mean I know because I've I get the issues before anyone else does. Don't tell anybody. I'm just kidding. But no, like, I have seen sneak snippets, shall we say, of issue 5, and again, we're in for a treat. I'm loving this series, genuinely loving the series. Like, it's a really cool alternate universe for G.I. Joe fans to kind of play around in for a little while. You know, like, we've got A Real American Hero still going, we've got Snake Eyes movie coming around the corner, we've got, you know, new toys around the corner, which we're gonna see more of at Toy Fair. So the universe of G.I. Joe is starting to come around again a little bit for me. It's starting to kind of show signs of life, and this is one of the strongest signs of life for me in something new and fresh and different and really f-ing interesting with these characters.
Do you know what, obviously always love the Real American Hero series with Larry Hama and the art, you know, the respective art teams that have come in and out in that particular series.
Yeah.
Nether Diaz and Robert Atkins. It's fantastic. But this alternate series, and I don't even like calling it an alternate version of G.I. Joe. If this became the main canon for G.I. Joe, if the movie universe fell in line with this, if more kind of products sprung up around this, and it doesn't even have to be toys. I mean, it could be more comics, more books tied into the video game universe that's starting to develop again, hopefully. And of course, if toys did come in on the heels of this, I think it would be fantastic for the G.I. Joe mythos. This is a superb piece of fiction. I love what Paul Adler has created here in terms of the characters, the story. I don't want to call it an alternate G.I. Joe anymore. I think this is what it should be. This should be the number one.
Big, big, bold claims from Brian Hickey there. But no, it's really cool. I'm loving it too, mate. And shout out to Paul, shout out to Chris, shout out to Brittany, shout out to everyone involved. Loving this at the moment. Also, shout out to Nico Walter as well, who did a cracking job on that last issue. We'll be back again very soon for Snake Hunt Part Whatever we're on now. 269, I want to say. I could be wrong, but whatever, you know, on the next issue, which is out, I believe, tomorrow. So yeah, we'll be back. We're not going to be recording tomorrow. We're going to be recording it next week, hopefully, along with about 12 more Disorder of Battles, Brian, as well. We've got
a couple of Disorder of Battles in the works. Looking forward to finishing the mini comic run.
Oh, I've got my work cut out for me. I've got a lot of docs to knock up in the next couple of days.
I think we've got 3 mini comics left to cover. So
yeah. They're short though. They're nice and short.
Short.
In any case, thanks for jumping on, buddy. Really appreciate it again.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
That's it for this installment of the Full Force Comics Burst. Thank you to my awesome co-host Brian Hickey. See you next time, and as always,
Cobra provides.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos, and as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter @TheFullForce, liking the Facebook page facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback or questions. We have also started a Patreon page, so if you want to see your name up in lights on these videos or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force. And a big shout out to our sponsors, Distant Planet Comics and Collectibles, located at 601 Business Loop 70 West Suite 263, located in the Parkade Center, Columbia, Missouri. You can visit their website at distantplanetcomics.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/distantplanetcomics.